I'd like to begin by thanking you all for joining us to celebrate the fourth Sunday of Advent and not just skipping it and going right into Christmas. I think that this year our readings are particularly apt for this back-to-back fourth Sunday of Advent is Christmas Eve and here we go. King David, finally at rest from his enemies, says, I'm going to build the Lord a place to dwell. My terms. I'm done. I'm going to build something for God. It's going to be what I want it to be. Here we go. And Nathan the prophet sent to him to say, wait just a minute. You don't tell God how to live. He's going to build a house for you. Look at all that he has done, all the enemies he's conquered for you, the land that he's given you, and now you think, I'm going to tell God how to do the next steps? It's like, hold your horses, David. Remember who God is. Sometimes we want God to be on our terms rather than his, and it's never worked well. Thinking that we can control God, or we know better, or we think how it should be. Look at the first coming of Christ, which we'll celebrate later this evening. They were not expecting a child born in a manger to a poor family in Nazareth, no. They were awaiting the Messiah who would come with power and conquer the Roman Empire and kick him out. They weren't ready to receive him then, because they were thinking in their own terms rather than on God's terms. And how often do we do that? Maybe this weekend saying, it's ridiculous that there's an obligation that I have to go to church for the fourth Sunday of Advent and Christmas. God forbid that I come to worship Jesus twice when he's coming into the world to save me. Perhaps in our own prayer, we are not happy with the world and we go about telling God how things should be. This is what I want. This is how I want things to be. And we tell God what it should look like rather than receiving him as he comes. The first time Jesus came, when they were expecting a Messiah who would conquer the political powers, didn't Christ bring so much more? Not just a political system in this world that did what they wanted, but eternal life. A kingdom in heaven that has no end. The forgiveness of sins, which people ridicule Jesus about over and over and over again. Who do you think you are that you can forgive sins? He says, I come to bring so much more. Not just freedom from the Romans, not just this little parcel of land in the Middle East, but the kingdom of heaven. But we try and box God in and tell him what it should look like. And I dare say it has gone very poorly through the ages every time we've tried that. I know how we'll spread the Christian message. Let's have a crusade. That worked really well so many times we've tried it. Or we're going to force people to convert rather than introducing them to the love of God for them and entering that relationship that Christ desired to build the first time. We mess it up every time we try, when we tell God what to do, rather than receiving him as he comes to us. I dare say, brothers and sisters, our prayer, although intercessory prayer, is so powerful. The point of that prayer is not to tell God what to do, but to conform our will to his, to make our hearts more like his heart, to desire what he desires rather than to dictate to our God what the world should be. And when we do that, he amazes us beyond our imagination. He bestows blessings on us we could not fathom, because after all, he is the one who is omnipotent, omniscient, and yes, unchangeable in his love for us. We're not going to convince God how he should be. He is who he is. Rather, we're called to receive him in his fullness, in his love, in his plan, and cooperate with it to conform our hearts to his. what does the angel Gabriel say to Mary? That this Son of God will be great, the Son of the Most High. He will have the throne of David, his father. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Not just a mere man in the line of David again, but God made man, the true Son of God, who will rule over us for all eternity. Isn't that better than a change in politics? That God will be in charge again forever. This Christmas, as Jesus comes, perhaps at an inopportune time for us when we don't want to go to Mass again necessarily, let us put aside our little wants and desires and open our hearts to receive him with all that he desires to bring, to receive him as he is, as he came to us as we are, sinners and imperfect. God loved us and opened his divine life to us through his incarnation. Let us open our hearts to receive his divinity, that we may welcome him when he comes, not complaining at the day nor the hour or the manner in which he comes, but full of joy that our God is with us.